Well, this is the hour we take your phone calls with Linda Moulton Howe. We call it Conversations with Linda. Questions, stories, maybe tips. But you make the call, and we'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Linda Moulton Howe with us here. Linda, I will be starting year number 17 next week. And how many for you?
Well, it goes, it depends on where you start. Counting Bigelow's Area 51 that George Knapp and Art Bell and I did goes back, I believe, to like 1990, 91, somewhere in there. And then Art started doing Dreamland, and I work with him on that. So 90, at least, to 2018.
Wow. It's amazing how fast it goes, isn't it?
And Coast, what I remember, that Coast was hitting its sort of pace was beginning in 1995. Is that the correct memory?
Right about there. From 95, 96 really started taking off.
And it was 5 hours instead of four, and Art would call me, and I was in Philadelphia, and he was on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So he would call me and say, hey, can you do 5 hours with me tonight on global warming? And honest to God, that would then I would be starting at what I think it was 1 o'clock East Coast.
That's when he went on. That's right.
Yeah. And so I would go from one
to six,
two, three, four, five, six. The sun would be coming up in the summer when I got off. But the big thing was the challenge that if I was going to do 5 hours of global warming with Art Bell, that how would I have enough content? And that was when I came up with the bullseye that I had rings and rings and rings of material around me with the most important that was close to me going out to things that were maybe more speculative or whatever. And it was the it was like being in a jazz riff, not knowing if I had enough material in all these rings to get me through 5 hours.
Well, you did it. When were you in Denver doing the television work?
1976 to I signed the contract with Home Box Office in March of 1983. So I think it was 76. And then when I signed the contract with HBO, I left the station to work.
That's amazing. And I'm going to probably see you at Conscious Life.
Oh, yes.
Right?
It's one of my favorite conferences.
You're on my panel, I think.
Oh, I hope so. That would be fun. February, and I love Conscious Life. I'm looking forward. I'm going to be doing a brand new whistleblower. It's a very special, and I hope people who are really interested in what people who know firsthand, even if they can't speak publicly, what they are saying about some of these issues having to do with Antarctica, Mars, the moon, alien presence on Earth. But this is becoming hard to me, meaning it has gone from rumor and whisper to speculation to now people who have hard evidence.
And continue the story for us, if you would, by investigating this paralyzing virus that's affecting children, Linda, if you could.
Well, yeah, and the thing about it is maybe merciful and maybe it's a pause. The case numbers have slowed down, and I don't know whether it's because people are aware. But I certainly, if they have a swing back up, remember it's been the even-numbered years.
That's right.
4 years. So we've come through 18. If it lives up to what it's done, there won't be many in 19. And then
it starts back up again. That's right. Let's go to the phones. We've got a whole list of them. And Linda's with us for the rest of this hour. Conversations with Linda. Let's start by going to Bonnie in Pahrump, Nevada, Art's old area. Hi, Bonnie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Thank you so much for taking the
call. Sure thing. Good to hear from you.
Hi, Bonnie.
I don't know if you remember me, but I spent about 5 hours talking to you at Contact in the Desert in 2015.
Wow. Well,
yes. You and I talked.
I talked to an awful lot of people, but I know that they are some of the most valuable discussions. So help me remember what your particular facet is here.
We sat talking from noon until 5, all about the ET doctor.
Just one-on-one, Bonnie? Just you and Linda?
Yes. It was me, Linda, and you had a girl that was with you who worked at GE. And
oh,
I had a friend
yeah.
that was with me.
And yeah, go ahead and what was the core, though, of your...
The core of it is exactly what you're talking about tonight, although you really haven't... The whole nexus of MK Ultra and what I explained in all of this was how they have to use this drug to suppress people's memory to be able to feed on humans. And the reason that they developed this was for that purpose. Ketamine, this is the drug that I talked to you about, and the reason why we went to Vietnam and the reason why we've been going to all these wars to get the opioid that makes this drug. It is the way they have been able to steal the country blind. They can walk into a bank and rip the bank off and get the employees to hand them the money by drugging them with this particular drug, and when everybody comes out of the drug, nobody has any idea that
Jeez.
They were ever even approached.
Oh, who is the they?
Well, the CIA developed the drug. Ketamine, this was what was developed in MKUltra. And ketamine is such a sophisticated drug, you can't even imagine. Not only does it suppress the memory from before the incident, but it also puts the person in such a robotic state. You know, it weakens them at the beginning of when they're exposed to it. It completely takes out their ability to even stand up.
Well, I am reading a book of an abductee who, after he and a colleague saw a huge UFO and apparently were abducted and all of that, they end up being basically harassed by somebody from the government. And what is interesting is they were physically really, really hurt. And so they had to go to a doctor each for medical attention. And they ended up being prescribed pills. And both men took these pills that they were prescribed at the doctor's office. And the doctors had interaction with people in the government, without question. And the author of this particular story writes that within a week of taking the pills that he thought was to help his body recover, his memory started just completely dissolving, and his wife was very concerned and said to him, "It's those pills. Stop taking those pills. They're doing something to your memory."
Jeez.
And I think that that's probably very true. And this comes to the 65 years of becoming sophisticated about how you can precisely use amnesia to block memories, and that memory overlay becomes part of this. But that there are pills that could be taken to dissolve away a person's memory. And all of this is where once upon a time, I think a lot of us were uncomfortable and felt like maybe it was not true. Today, I am convinced it's all true. Now, the ketamine, I don't know anything really about, but I know that in what I've been reporting tonight, about the historic documents that John Greenwald has been getting at the Black Vault, this is real.
And sinister. My gosh.
It is. It is. And that's why when the 75 to 77, that was the period when the Frank Church focus was on MKUltra.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There was the conclusion that what the CIA and its brother-sister agencies were doing was, and the word that was officially used was illegal. And then I believe there was a Supreme Court. There's been several efforts to bring cases having to do with MKUltra damage to the Supreme Court. And I don't think that they've been successful. But doesn't this all focus yet again. What kind of a nation do we want the United States to be? And you will hear people on the government side argue, and I understand, I can understand what I'm going to say has some value, and that is our geopolitical territorial, not necessarily war enemies, but competitive enemies, are Russia and China. And if they are doing the same thing, where they will capture people, subject them to chemistry and hypnosis, then the United States must know how to do that. That was the argument back in the 53.
Sure, doesn't make it right.
But that's exactly, it's what, if the United States is going to continue to try to hold this bulwark position that we've had since World War II, then we have to live some kind of morality.
Yep.
And not just give lip service. And that's where all of this that's unfolding, it's like corrosion. But on top of all of this, the big box that's been there and has always been there is the alien presence. And how much does it have to do with what we are doing behind the scenes? That's what I would like to know.
Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call. Linda, magnificent research.
Thank you.
I'm very glad that you followed up on your November reports with this on mind control. I mean, I remember when you were saying that on John Levine, I kept thinking, I wonder if his memory has been mind wiped.
Right.
Can they insert something, you know, insert a memory?
And some people will argue that he is completely making everything up and that whatever. And there's too much complexity to what he told me over 5 hours. And when I've been working not only with the Navy captain, but I have been working with John Pacharian, very bright, a writer. Ian Halling, a very bright researcher and investigator in England. And then I've been getting these inputs from the people who are communicating to me only through encryption. And the thing about it, this is, if this was just an all phony, trumped up something, you wouldn't come into very refined details that only somebody who had been exposed, say, to NASA would know, or that some of the people have found other facets that tend to support pieces, or that the thing about the mole, there were secret astronaut suits, there were secret astronauts. There was a lot going on behind the so-called public face of NASA in that end of the 50s and going into the 60s time period. And it's never really been public. And it may very well be that eventually, just as Wynne Keach said, if we ever can know the truth, we may learn that there is a real ancient cigar-shaped 3-mile-long craft on the moon. We may learn that they encountered shocks inside of this craft, and that until they open up that we're not alone in the universe, and that they can talk about whether or not we're dealing with allies or enemies, that they've always wanted to keep this clamped down under all of these secret programs. Well, don't you feel, all of you, at Coast and everywhere else, we are way past living on a planet where we should be coddled. We have got to be told the truth about neutrals and friendlies and hostiles. And if the whole planet started learning what the governments have been worried about, we would all become stronger. And maybe Russia, China, and the United States would be more collaborative instead of geopolitically territorial.
Good point. First-time caller, Carol in Baltimore, Maryland. Hi, Carol. Good morning.
Good morning, George and Linda. I love your shows when you two are together.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just have a little nugget, and I've been wanting to call in for months. There was a family member who is now deceased. He worked for the OSS back in the day before it was changed to CIA.
Mm-hmm.
He was a private pilot, worked for the government, did some covert activities out of the country. He never would talk about anything at all. He was very good at his job, and he never talked about anything except one thing. One family member asked him one time before he passed away, he said, and it was kind of a joke, they said, well, I suppose we have space aliens running around. He looked him in the eye and he said, they're here, they've been here.
Yeah.
And he said it absolutely chilled him.
Wow.
When
yeah.
this man told
yeah,
him that.
Exactly. And that variation on the what Kennedy called the alien presence, that was 63. And then I'm positive, and I think Wynn Keach, if he were on the line with us, would agree that by the 50s, because we were working on these very sophisticated optics for spying on Russia and everybody else from satellites as that kept evolving, we would have put them and turned them on the moon. Absolutely, we would have done that. And that would have reinforced hard data, hard evidence that the moon is occupied, has been occupied. There is an alien presence on the Earth. There has been an alien presence, and maybe there still is one on Mars. All of that was being studied with hard data, hard optics. And that when we went to the moon, this is the part, see, the John Levine piece about how we were warned by a gray alien
to stay off,
not come back. I heard that same phrase back in 82 to 83 after I had done the animal mutilation documentary. And about the time that I went to start the work for HBO on the hour I was going to do for them. And I was told then that we had a warning and that the warning came that we were not to return to the moon and that that is why 17 was the last Apollo mission. Levine inserts that he has firsthand knowledge about that warning and that there were an 18, 19, and 20. Now, tonight, if we could put out a general call to anybody who has firsthand knowledge, who can communicate with me. I do use Proton Mail. I use FedEx. I work with people who have to be protected. And that what I need something that is hard data.
Hold on for a second, Linda. We'll have you do that. And Linda's mailing work at her website, earthfiles.com. And our email is earthfiles@earthfiles.com. Final calls next. And we are back with our final segment with Linda Moulton Howe here. Linda, you all ready for the new year?
Well, I think so in terms of enthusiasm for continuing to try to peel layers off and hope that we're finally going to get something is going to break this open that we're not alone in this universe. It's just absurd.
And thank you, by the way, for leaving us with that holiday message for Christmas. That was really cool of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was fun. Let's take some final calls here. Joe in Long Island, New York's with us. Joseph, go ahead.
Do I have a question on the first segment, and I have a brief story relating to the second one. My question on the first is with the penguins and giraffes, especially the penguins being in such remote areas, how would you explain an 83% disappearance rate on the king penguins, for example?
That is exactly the agony and angst of the discussion with Professor Wagner about they're trying to understand that. I mean, all over the planet where there are these huge plunging, what they call crashes, That being one of them, what is precisely the problem? And I don't think that it's all clear. It's scary.
And we'll go to you, Joe, for your story.
Right. My story is, okay, my uncle, who at this time was based in Florida, I was at a party last decade, and I mentioned, I said, if I ever make it to heaven, I'm going to ask who shot JFK. So he says, I want to talk to you. Now, he had worked for Bell Labs in the 60s, and what happened was, according to him, he was one of two people that worked setting up mobile lines for Kennedy. He worked the Eastern Seaboard, New York, and up to Hyannisport, Massachusetts. When he was there, there was someone to set up mobile phones for him. He was the person that covered that area. Now, he gave me detailed information. He named names. He said how it was done, that it was Lyndon Johnson and the CIA. And this guy was like a sharp cookie, very high-tech guy, high position in Bell Labs. And there's no way he was lying. And he gave me like an hour-long story of how, you know, it was basically the CIA. He named all sorts of names. I wish I had a tape recorder. And Lyndon Johnson were the ones who did the hit on JFK.
Well, it's not the first time we have heard the Johnson name kicked around, Linda.
That's right. Daniel List, who I have done deep, long interviews for Coast and Earth Files about some of his research, he has information about the LBJ knowledge, I believe, for two full months before the assassination, that there was going to be something bad. And to me, when you look back at that period, and we know that was 12 days before the assassination that John F. Kennedy had sent that letter or memorandum to the director of the CIA saying that he wanted to put together a collaboration with the Soviet Union to go to the moon.
Yep, together.
And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And this is a very interesting question, I guess, from a legal point of view. From a human compassion point of view, it's incomprehensible. From a strictly hard-nosed political government geopolitical, when Truman set up the MJ-12 group, their interest, it was in some of the wording that Bob Wood and I and others have gone over, it is at all costs, that word is in there, many, many different places, at all costs, the public and the media must be kept in the dark. At all costs is setting some kind of a legal boundary for if the CIA, for example, is charged with preserving national security, and if aliens have been defined as a threat, then 2 + 2 = 4. If you have a president of the United States who says he wants to collaborate with what the national security people say is an enemy of the United States, then the president becomes a threat to national security. And that is the framework behind the assassination of Kennedy.
To the calls again we go. Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Lance is with us. Hey, Lance, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, George, Linda.
Hi. Hi.
I've got one... Vaccines, when you talk about experts, you'll get vaccines are good for you, and then another expert, vaccines are bad for you.
Right.
Just every aspect of life, even in politics, there's an expert in the stock market.
Right.
An expert will tell you one thing. How can you figure out which one's
right? It's a confusing planet, that's for sure.
Right. And I have one other little quick question. Has anybody ever checked on for the bugs and the animals and everything with all these cell phones and sonar and satellites sending all these different frequencies? I've always pictured since the 90s, like with the radio antenna for AM, FM. If you could draw a line from each person's car or their house for that frequency and made it into a color.
Yeah.
Right now, it would turn, the sky would be black all the time because there's so much of that. Shoot, I mean, they're mapping the ocean from space.
Yeah, exactly.
Could that not be affecting, pollution's bad.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead. Professor Wagner and I, we talked about that. And right now, it isn't like definitive that if you have X Earth life within Y distance from a microwave tower, that you're automatically going to have a consequence. It isn't that clear. But it seems to me common sense that all of the microwaves from all of these microwave towers, they can't be ultimately healthy for humans or dogs or cats or anybody. But we're on a planet that has now kind of knitted itself together through microwaves and cell towers. And to put that genie back in the bottle, it's not going to happen. And so that means that, as I said in that report, humans are changing the terraforming of the planet. We are changing the atmosphere and the water and the land, and a lot of what we're doing on the land has to do with microwaves and other frequencies. And in a strange way, if we knew the truth 100 or 500 years out, and if the Earth were still here, that we might then see that there was data eventually learned that the frequencies that began to be the digital age are what changed humanity forever, and that a whole new new version emerged because of all of these changes. That is science fiction now. It could become fact in a far future.
JW is with us in Louisville, Kentucky. Hello, JW.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Liz, I just wanted to talk about disclosure. I wanted to ask, what do you think, how possible is it that the government is gradually introducing the idea of life on other planets to the population gradually? Every year, a greater percentage of people believe in disclosure. But I mean, I think that maybe they're introducing it gradually because it would be so traumatic to people when they realize that the government could no longer protect them.
Look, one of the biggest CIA tests of public reaction to something that would be vivid and close to a reality was The Day the Earth Stood Still. And that was a film that came out through Hollywood with CIA money. We know that today. It was a CIA planted script and the money for the production, and it came out. And look at the enormous impact that The Day the Earth Stood Still back in 19... George, it was 50 or 51, wasn't it?
Yep, with Michael Rennie.
Yes, an incredible film. Nobody went jumping out of windows or screaming in the streets. It was a film that people intuitively seemed to know had something to do with something real. And to me, over all these years, if there has been hostility, and you think of Len Stringfield talking about how many planes were shot down and how many pilots were lost because there was a period of time in the 1950s when all of this stuff was paralleling, yeah. MKUltra and NASA trying to get its act together, and that it is, looking back, that there was this period of time where just if there had been some honesty about what the government was learning about, we'll call it the alien presence, that we might have evolved on a planet exactly as Reagan said later, where Russia and China and the United States and Korea and all of it, that they wouldn't be trying to war, we wouldn't be trying to fight each other if we knew that we're much stronger united, and that if there are hostilities in the universe as well as allies, we should grow up and know that. And that, to me, is the disconnect between that period of time in the 50s when that movie, it was basically saying there are intelligences that can shut down the entire power grid of the United States. That was the, you know, that was what happened. And that would somehow be overwhelmingly scary to people, I don't believe. And today, I think that if we could get the truth out, all of it, good, bad, and indifferent, it might change human life on Earth to something that was more cooperative.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that 1951, The Day the Earth Stood Still movie, was based on Valiant Thor, that story that Craig Capobasso has brought back to us from Frank Sturgis of the visitor from Venus?
It's a very valid question, but it's always been so puzzling. In this dimension, in this reality, the hard fact is Venus is, what, 8,000 degrees?
Yeah, it's kind of uninhabitable, I think.
Exactly. So what does that mean? You hear things like, well, a different timeline, a different dimensional frequency. Well, that may be true in some big cosmic way, but it's not very relevant to humans living in a matter universe. And if something comes and says that it was from Venus, and you have to say, well, look, you, in what way are you from Venus? And that's why so much stuff has been discounted or made fun of, because if some of the communications that were translated from something that said that they were from outer space was in those terms, is it because the human mind didn't understand it correctly? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what. But the Michael Rennie character and the robot and the silver disc, I think, were absolutely based on real concepts that the CIA already knew.
Oh, somebody, like the X-Files, somebody fed them information.
Well, they were already, when Truman brought the CIA together on September 18th, 1947, officially, think about that. That was
Roswell.
2 years after we dropped those bombs in Japan.
Yep. So, and it happened during the Roswell crash.
Well, 2 months after.
Yep.
And so 47 was pivotal, and that the CIA, from everything that I know and others, it was Truman. He didn't say to the United States public, I am bringing together the Central Intelligence Agency because we're trying to deal with non-humans. We know that there are intelligences from someplace else. We know that we are dealing with technology that are beyond anything that we understand. He didn't say that, but that is what I understand was behind bringing the CIA together. And that means that the CIA, from Truman on, its most important charge was, what is this alien presence on this planet? And their job was to guard national security, and eventually the whole MJ-12 with the head of the CIA being MJ-1, and that they would have said that national security trumped everything else in the way that it was translated from Truman to them. Well, in the big scheme of things, I don't think that Truman would ever have agreed that you would kill a president of the United States because they wanted to collaborate with Russia in the interest of national security. And that's where it's like, why did the train go off the rail around Kennedy?
Exactly. Linda, have yourself a great new year. We will talk to you in January with your January report in 2019. Wow. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.